L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on a Monday morning. Kick off a new week on the early line. Not just a new week, but Super Bowl week. So live from New Orleans, let's not bury the lead, OKDubs Kevin Walsh joins us here on TEL. And I promise we will get some of Kevin's thoughts in the early build-up to Super Bowl 59, where his birds will face off against the Chiefs. But Kevin primarily joins us to recap the craziest weekend we have seen in the NBA in quite some time, with the blockbuster trades that we saw in the most shocking development perhaps in NBA history. So, Kev, as always, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us here live from the Big Easy.
Listen, we had to make it happen in the most ironic fashion possible. During the NBA's Sky is Falling rating season, they overtook the lead of the Super Bowl week. So, yeah, I don't know how they managed to do that. I guess they out of nowhere traded one of the five best players in the sport, probably before he even reached his prime, and nobody even knew it was a remote possibility.
Kevin, first Sunday without an actual NFL game since Sunday, September 8th of 2024 in this season. And the NBA waited about 12 minutes, a little bit after midnight, when we got the shocking news from Shams Charania that allowed all of us to look at our phones if we were still awake and say, what? Shams was hacked? This can't be real. For old K-Dubs, though, let's peel back the curtain and display your Saturday night. A trip to Madison Square Garden to see LeBron James and the Lakers beat the Knicks outright as an underdog. You must have enjoyed that in the Big Apple, in the world's most famous arena. To come home, Kev, get ready for your flight to New Orleans the next day and see that news. What was your initial reaction to the tweet that Luka Doncic was being traded to the Lakers?
Look, we'll peel it back the whole way. I'm very glad that the AD jersey was a little snug on the hips, so I didn't wear that to the game actually itself. We drove back to Queens, so you can imagine I'm running around the house. Connor, you believe this? It was shock, and it was just constantly refreshing to understand it, because the thing is, I think whether you reached a conclusion on your own or just through seeing everybody else's reaction, it was hard not to pretty quickly go, oh, I guess he was hacked. It was the predominant thought for everybody that this was not real. Can't be the best feeling in the world for Nico Harrison that everybody thought the trade was fake, as opposed to even remotely a possibility when it came through. So, yeah, it was stunning. And then I immediately ran and put some Laker bets in while I still could before numbers started to shift, because at no point does my brain sleep. So we had to start making some moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still laughing at this because I thought it was a fake account myself. And I'm like, oh, we're being punked at midnight. This is great. But play it for me, Kev, here. Luka comes back from the calf injuries on the court with LeBron. What does this Lakers team look like to you?
Yeah, I think they immediately become one of the most dangerous teams in basketball. It's very interesting. I don't know how many times we have to do this. Joe, you will know it well from the Heat days. LeBron and Wade, I don't know. I mean, these guys both need the ball. I'm not sure they can be, they made the finals every year? Or they made the finals every single year. Now, this is not Miami LeBron, but in terms of on-court fit, how are we still doing this? They did the on-court fit thing when he went to Cleveland to play with Kyrie. But people will pretend this didn't happen. They did the on-court fit thing when he was playing with Anthony Davis. Every time LeBron is next to someone new, I don't know if this is going to work. And it's completely bizarre. So that aspect of it will be more than fine. Yes, they need to sharpen up the edges of the roster. But for what I believe is the actual first time in LeBron's career, he's not the best player on his team. The Lakers and LeBron tried to will that into existence with AD being the lead guy. He never truly was, and I think everybody knows it. Luka is better right now than LeBron James, which means LeBron's the second best player on a team. That's incredibly dangerous.
We'll continue to talk about that Lakers outlook in just a little bit. But Kev, when you saw not only that this trade was real, and Shams Charania then had to back that up and say, no, this is not fake, this is real. Yeah. But what the trade details were, in return to Dallas, Anthony Davis, second team All-NBA a year ago, having a great All-Star year this season in L.A., the promising young prospect in Max Christie, but only a single first-round pick. What did you make of the actual components of this blockbuster trade?
So I think the thing that is, I want to clarify, I don't agree with the Mavs' evaluation of Luka or even Anthony Davis, respectfully. But they didn't want multiple firsts. They could have had, everybody talked like, oh, they could have had this. They didn't want any of that. They wanted Anthony Davis. I believe they traded for AD as much as they traded Luka, if that makes sense. They felt that getting Anthony Davis back was incredibly important. I don't think, if you talk about best players in terms of trade value, AD is inside that top 10. I do think he's inside that top 20. I think Dallas thinks AD is closer to that top 5 range, and maybe more importantly, they don't see Luka inside that top 5 range. Again, I think that's insane, but I think that is why they didn't ask for both Laker unprotected first-round picks.
So play it back for me here. AD comes back. It's now Kyrie's team. Yeah. Kev, what is Dallas now? No Lively. So what are we talking about here?
So it is, I believe, AD's team, because AD now gets his wish of playing the four. The Mavericks have not one, but two legitimate centers. Well, they have three centers on their team. It's just AD still doesn't think he's a center. So they have Gafford and Lively that they can play next to him when they're fully healthy. And that's, I think, one of the things about this where, we've heard how Luka was so disappointed and it's costing Luka Doncic over $100 million probably, this move from Dallas to L.A. We've not heard AD's upset at all. You know, AD goes out there and has the sit-down interview with Shams Charania. I don't think it's that AD was desperate to get out of L.A. I think Anthony Davis was legitimately tired of playing the five. I think he sees it as something that's taking years off his career. I think he blames that for his injury issues. Again, a lot of that is likely ridiculous. I don't want it to – my explanations are not agreements. But I think AD is over the moon that he is now going to be in a starting lineup with Daniel Gafford as much as he was in a lineup with, you know, Kyrie Irving or Klay Thompson on this roster.
And I don't think that should be overlooked either. It almost was like Anthony Davis was old parts and scrap metal traded back to Dallas. He was still all-NBA second team a year ago, just made the all-star team and was an all-star selection for the 10th time in his NBA career and has been healthy this season. 42 of the 47 games the Lakers have played, AD has been out there. You see the career resume for Anthony Davis. But, Kevin, this is Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic, who you said earlier in this segment, was a top five player in the NBA. Where do you still consider Luka ranking in the pantheon of the association right now?
Yeah, I mean, Luka to me is comfortably in the top five. I would tell you he's the third best player. And I would also tell you from a trade value perspective, he is the second or third most valuable player in the league. And there is a big drop off after the top three. It's Wemby, it's SGA, and it's Luka. Wemby's in his own tier. Luka and SGA are their own tier. And then there's a big drop off when you consider age and ability. Few are on Luka's level.
Yep. And so we'll talk about what Luka Doncic now means to the Lakers in what the ceiling is in LA this season. With Kev up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live from New Orleans, Kevin Walsh here for a second consecutive segment to react to the wild weekend that we saw around the NBA in the multiple blockbuster deals we had in the association. But of course, Luka Doncic is now officially a Los Angeles Laker. Because of the calf injury that he suffered on Christmas Day, Luka hasn't been back on the floor since late December. But assuming he will be very, very shortly, Kev, how do you now look at this Lakers team? You mentioned it. You bet them on Sunday morning after this trade was actually the real deal. A price of plus 850 that prior to the weekend to win the West was 25-1. An NBA championship price, 40-1 before the Luka deal that is now cut in half and then some at 19-1. What will be considered a successful second half and beyond for LeBron, Luka, and the Lakers this year?
I love that question because here's the reality of that question, right? What will determine a successful season will determine how honest people want to be. I, like all of you, ear to the ground, what are people saying? I've heard from countless places, well, the Lakers are making room for the future here. I mean, Lakers just told LeBron, hey, you don't even matter. Lakers are going nowhere this season. So that's what I've heard. And then if the Lakers get eliminated in the conference finals, the season will be a massive failure. LeBron lost again. MJ, MJ, MJ. So it's about how honest people want to be. To me, I think I will be able to give you a much better answer once the trade deadline passes. It is hard to imagine the Lakers are going to be able to win a championship without trading for a big man. But I fully expect them to trade for a big man. I'm very curious if they are currently listening to Austin Reeves' offers. They never planned to trade Austin Reeves. They never planned to trade for Luka Doncic. It's a franchise-altering move. You don't want to make any mistakes. You're not forced to trade, right, Ben and Joe, Austin Reeves? But it is on the board now that you could trade Austin Reeves if it helps you round out this roster in a number of ways, because this team could still use some additional perimeter guard-specific defense.
Yeah, and that's really the thing. So, I mean, if you're Pelinka and you're the Lakers, who do you want to add here? Who is the – you got to get a big, right, of some sort. So yeah. Who would you pick up the phone and call?
So I think Robert Williams should be able to be very easy to get out of Portland. The problem is he is very injury prone. But Robert Williams in the 21 minutes a game he could give the Lakers would probably lead basketball in net rating playing next to Luka Doncic and LeBron James. I think you're looking to try and grab some defensive first options if you can. I don't think Nikola Vucevic should be allowed anywhere near this basketball team. I don't know what that could possibly do for them. Jakob Poeltl makes sense. I am not – I mean, who understands the cap these days? I imagine bringing in Luka could take the Miles Turner stuff off the table, or it makes it more likely. Miles Turner would be an excellent fit. I think you want yourself a defensive big if possible. Clint Capella is another in Atlanta that I imagine could be had for a song.
Okay, so here are the NBA championship odds. Trade deadline is Thursday. We still expect a flurry of moves. The reigning champs and the favorites all year long. The Celtics are still that, but only by 20 cents in front of the Thunder. The Cavs at plus 750. Knicks, Nuggets, and know that price on the Lakers, 19-1 right now. Quickly, Kev, before we get to De'Aaron Fox, on the Mavericks, Nico Harrison is trying to sell everybody that Dallas is now win now. Do you think the Mavericks will actually win now?
No, just so people know, the Mavericks were my preseason pick to win the NBA championship. That's how high I was on this team. So I maybe the easy, but I should have probably said that earlier, just to let people know how much I disagree with his thought process here. They had a roster that could win a championship. They lost Luka to just get extra big depth. It's a preposterous move. The incredible thing is they could win a championship, and I still don't think their fans would forgive them for this decision. I think the Mavericks will be good. I think the Mavericks could be, you know, frisky in a postseason series. I don't believe they are now a legitimate championship contender as constructed.
What is the ceiling now, Kev, for San Antonio that landed a pretty big piece yesterday? And once again, I don't know what the hell the Bulls are doing, but San Antonio seems to know what they're doing, Kev.
Look, Bulls are along for the ride. I won't disagree there. I don't really know what Sacramento's doing, though, of being like, can we get LaVine and DeMar back together? It's like, no, why would you ever do that? My thing is, I'm annoyed about this for everyone involved. Fox is a good player. He's all-star caliber. He and Wemby is an excellent pairing. I don't understand why San Antonio needed to do this now. I know they didn't have to give up all that much. Was Fox going to refuse to go there if they didn't trade for him this moment? Was Fox going to refuse to sign there? They are not contenders with this move this season. So then what was the rush? That was my only thing about it. I think, the pairing works really well, but it's not as if De'Aaron Fox has this huge resume of like, oh, Wemby plus Fox makes you a contender. The whole thing is, Wemby makes you a contender. So I don't know why the Spurs would even limit themselves in terms of options. I think Trae Young was a better fit to play next to Wemby, and they could have had him for probably just as much this offseason. I know some will disagree, but they showed patience in the offseason. Fox was like, hey, I'd love to come over, and then they canceled and made room for that when I don't think they really needed to.
A lot of picks dealt back to Sacramento. They get 3 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders. The Bulls get back their own 2025 first-round pick from San Antonio. But, yeah, it's really a focus on Victor Wembanyama making his first All-Star game this year alongside De'Aaron Fox, who has been in the NBA now for an 8th season, only an All-Star once. Talented, but where does this really elevate a Spurs team that is currently 4 games below 500 at 21-25? Kev is live in New Orleans. It is, in fact, Super Bowl week. Some thoughts on Super Bowl 59 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl week in the Big Easy for the biggest sporting event each and every year, the biggest game of every NFL season. It is Super Bowl 59. That features Kevin Walsh's Birds, but the most unbiased man in sports media will break it down as is necessary in the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Kev, KC, a slight 1.5 favorite, -126 on the money line as we are here on this Monday morning, officially now in Super Bowl week. Total remains at 48.5. You are boots on the ground in the Big Easy. You will be hearing from so many different perspectives getting ready for Super Bowl 59 in these coming days. But as you look at those numbers, where do you expect these odds to move, if at all, by the time we get to Super Bowl Sunday, now just 6 days out?
It's a great question. I still would imagine that it would be more Kansas City bets as we get closer and closer to this game. I think that the Chiefs pushed a lot of people over the edge with the win against Buffalo. I heard people say, it's between the Bills and the Ravens as the two best teams in football. Obviously, that drives me completely insane. The Eagles went to Baltimore, beat that team, beat them pretty handedly. I don't think anybody watches the Eagles sometimes based on the conversations that we have, but maybe neither here nor there. I just expect there to still be a wealth of Kansas City money that pours in because it's Mahomes. The thing is, and I'm going to try and do this with as much respect as I can, even some of the brightest minds see a Chiefs game and go, well, they got Mahomes. It's not a breakdown, but apparently it is because they just keep winning. So maybe it is a breakdown. But if that's the breakdown that you're getting from the top end of it, Well, then everybody who's just going to show up to the window come Super Bowl Sunday will go, yeah, the Chiefs will win the game. And then I imagine we can maybe get closer to -2, a money line of -134, -139, if you will.
Can you make the argument, and I've been saying it all week, Kev, the wrong team is favored here, is it not? I mean, call me crazy. I can make the argument that the Eagles should be the favorites here on a neutral site, no?
Yeah, I mean, I won't call you crazy. I'll call you somebody who's clearly watching some Birds football, and we'd love to see that for you, Joe, quite frankly. The Philadelphia Eagles have had people leading the conversations with, hey, what's wrong with the offense? And they are 26 points away, I think, for tying the most points ever scored by a team.
Oh, that was fun. That was good.
Sometimes it happens in New Orleans.
That's like a Kansas City fan. The Kansas City fan. Somebody came in. That's what it was. Yeah.
Knocked on Kevin's hotel room and said, get this guy Walsh off of here if he's going to consider the Eagles are actually the favorites. I believe Kevin's back.
Can I tell you something? Now, we're all friends here. You might think, what went wrong, right? Internet could be the hotel. No. Lisey Joe. Lisey's calling me mid-segment. Mm-hmm. Told him I was doing this. He knows. So,
he's not going to eat breakfast. I mean,
what? He might be. I was just saying,
bacon and sausage. Please go ahead.
Yeah, exclusively. I will throw this out there to people because obviously I do think the Eagles are the best team in football. I've been saying it for a long time. I'll throw people some old school spread math out there. Kansas City was supposed to be a 1.5-point home underdog to Baltimore. Philadelphia went to Baltimore as just a 3.5-point dog. Again, it's not a massive gap, but that would pretty much suggest that Philly should be -1 here. I think Joe's right, and I think the reason that Kansas City is a favorite in this game is not – see, I think the wrong team is favored, but I don't blame them one bit because I think that if you put a plus sign next to Kansas City again, you would have a big issue on your hands.
Two of the five best scoring defenses, Kev, in the NFL, two of five defenses allowing fewer than 20 points per game all year long. And we have seen the total work its way down now to 48.5. Just how much scoring do you anticipate seeing in the Big Easy?
I have played under at 49.5. I wasn't actually thinking it would hit down to 48.5, so I'm glad I did. Not that I think that's necessarily going to make all the difference in the world. I would anticipate this number could tick back up. I think this game is more so in the mid-40s. Kansas City is coming off their season-high points. Obviously, Philadelphia is also coming off of their season-high point. So I think you have a bit of a sell-high spot when you try and evaluate this total for both football teams.
The Eagles, the best defense all year long. You want to say Patrick Mahomes? Maybe you should also say Steve Spagnuolo as one of the reasons the Chiefs continue on this dynastic run. Kev, go meet Lisey for breakfast. Enjoy this.
He's knocking at my door.
Yeah, sure, he probably is. Have a great Super Bowl week, my friend. We will see you very, very soon. More on the Urban Fire.
Yeah, I'm coming!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Kevin Walsh had to go, of course. Joe Lisey and Donnie Wrightside banging at his door to get to Caesars Superdome or wherever Radio Row is in New Orleans. But it is Super Bowl week. In the Big Easy, plenty of Sports Grid coverage coming your way from New Orleans all week long. We'll have it here on the Early Line as well. Videos, interviews, the PFT crew breaking things down ahead of the biggest game each and every NFL season. And Joe, this is a fun time because it is Super Bowl week. Last week, we talked about the game from every single angle, trying to bring you all of the necessary approaches to how the biggest game of a season is going to be constructed. We're going to do a lot of the same things this week, but maybe we'll start to see some movement. It is actually a game week. We are going to get more practice reports. How healthy are these two sides entering Super Bowl 59? So, it is the start of Super Bowl week. And here are the numbers once again. Kansas City remains a 1.5-point favorite. minus 126 at the money line. It's been as low as minus 124. That's two pennies. It's been as high as minus 130 in favor of Kansas City. We have basically fluctuated in this nickel or dime sense on the money line for the last week. Total still 48.5, where it dropped to late last week as well. Joe, as you look at these numbers now in Super Bowl week, and all of your friends start to hit you up, Ranieri, we need some bets for the biggest game, man. What do you like? What are you thinking? What do you know? How are you trying to advise people to best bet Super Bowl 59?
Well, you know, I was making the case with Kevin there about, I think maybe the wrong team is favored, but he's got a point as well, is that the books can't put a plus number next to the Chiefs. It won't be there very long. Let's face it here. The money will come rolling in on Kansas City if anybody sees Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid as a dog. And let's not forget, they're the champs until somebody beats them. And forget about all their going for history and nobody's ever won three in a row. Listen, they're here. They have an opportunity to make history here and cement themselves as one of the greatest franchises and one of the greatest runs in all of NFL history. And that is saying right. something in this day and age. However, this has not been the most talented Chiefs team. And while they do have an edge at quarterback because of Patrick Mahomes and even coaching with Spags and Andy Reid, they don't have the better offensive line. They don't have the better defense. And they don't have the better running game. In fact, they have no running game. And usually what happens in games like this, Ben, is that the one who has more checks next to their name regarding running, defense, offensive line, well, that's usually the team, Ben, that ends up coming out on top in these one-off situations here. And that's why I think, you know, you can get a plus number right now at Philadelphia, and I think that's where all the value lies right now.
Minus 124 now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 106 on the other side for the Eagles. And Joe, when you really start to compare these two teams, you go up and down the list. Coach, quarterback, running backs, skill positions, offensive line, defense as a whole. You really do make those check marks, those pro and con lists to compare these two teams because you can see how tight the margin is to see who might hold those slight matchup advantages that could dictate the outcome. I don't think anybody is predicting this game to be lopsided, to decide it by two touchdowns. I think we all think that on either side, it's going to be a one-possession game. It's going to probably be a field goal or a touchdown. More than likely, it comes down to the final few minutes of that fourth and final quarter of this NFL season. Now, we'll get back to comparing these two teams in just a moment. I do just want to mention the numbers. Because, Joe, at the end of Championship Sunday, when this line opened up, for our Super Bowl 59 matchup, second time in the last 3 years, Chiefs and the Eagles. It was minus 130 on the money line. And around 57% of the bets, or 57% of the money, excuse me, on the spread at a point and a half were backing Kansas City on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Around 54% of the bets on the spread were backing Kansas City on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Those numbers right now have dropped, not by 10 percentage points, but by a few. 54% of the money on the spread backing the Chiefs, only 51% of the bets. So just know that, because there might be the public sentiment. It's still Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and they're looking for a third consecutive Super Bowl championship, so you have to bet the Chiefs. The public bets, or at least some of the bets that we are seeing in the overall quantity on FanDuel, are now starting to skew, at least in the last 5 to 7 days, on Philadelphia. And those numbers, Joe, will be important to pay attention to on our lovely sponsor, the FanDuel Sportsbook, in this 6-day stretch until Super Bowl Sunday. Because if they start to back the Eagles and the Chiefs remain the favorites, are those the odds makers telling us, hey, we just can't make KC a dog once again for a Super Bowl? Or is that the odds maker telling us, hey, Kansas City is actually the right and correctly favored side despite the public starting to buy in to the birds? All of these numbers in a game with this short of a margin have to be noted this week in the lead up to Super Bowl 59.
Well, I think if from a book perspective, Ben, my goal is to not have a ton of liability on one side or the other, right?
True. Yeah,
so this game, for many aspects, is a pick'em in people's minds. I don't think the line is going to move a whole lot one way or the other, simply because I believe there's going to be enough two-way action on this game. There usually is, unless this would is some sort of big -4, -5, something over a field goal. But the reality is it's the two best teams left standing in the NFL. I think what you see is what you get. I don't think it'll ever get to – I don't think enough Chiefs money will come in to force FanDuel to push it to -2, thus creating +8 for the Eagles and a teaser. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the biggest question mark in this game, as far as the line movement is going to go, is going to come on the total, because we all know that the public loves overs, and they will bet the over on Saturday and all morning Sunday. The question is, how much higher does it go? Because there's been nothing but under money in so far.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the total and dive into that in just a little bit in our next segment. We'll focus on where that next big move for the odds for Super Bowl 59 comes. When is it going to happen? Where does it happen? Much like Joe, I think it's more about our over-under and not necessarily the spread or the money line. At least on FanDuel, Joe, I expect the numbers to look pretty similar to what they do, a couple of cents here and there. A point and a half is still where I expect that closing spread to be as we get to kick just 6 days from now, around 6:30 p.m. Eastern time in New Orleans inside the Caesars Superdome. But one of the great things, Joe, much to the public's chagrin, that we are seeing the same Super Bowl matchup for a second time in 3 years is we have the Chiefs, who are now playing in their fifth Super Bowl in the last seven seasons, and the Eagles, second time in a three-year window. We have data points. We have sample size. We have comparison between these two in this similar stage and matchup. Joe, I think back in Super Bowl 57 to end out 2022 in Glendale, I think it was pretty easy to say the Eagles were the more talented team, but you still had Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Do you feel about the same way here entering Super Bowl 59?
Listen, the thing that worries me the most about the Chiefs is, and Philadelphia knows that if you're going to do this, you need to step on them. You need to make sure they can't come back here, Ben. This can't be a one-score game with 3 minutes left to go in a game and Mahomes has the ball. You just can't. So they are going to have the game of their life, where they're going to put them down. They're going to make it so they can't come back. That's how you win this game if you're Philadelphia.
And everybody around the NFL for the last 7 years that Mahomes has been the starter in KC has tried to figure out that blueprint. How do we beat the Chiefs? Does it mean scoring or a defensive stifling effort? We'll talk to Total next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A couple of cents here and there on the money line. Kansas City has remained a point and a half favorite on the spread for Super Bowl 59. The one big move, if you want to call it that, in the week before, now Super Bowl week, that we saw from an odds perspective, was that total. 49.5 at open, now 48 in a hook. Joe, you said it before the break. Pretty much all the money right now has been on the under. Where do you think this number closes 6 days from this very moment, come Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, I think this number will rise, Ben, over the weekend, beginning on Saturday, once the public gets paid on Friday, runs to the window and starts getting real excited on Saturday, and then, of course, on Sunday. But there is going to come a point, Ben, and listen, I can see this going to 49.5, maybe 50, because I do believe there's going to be an overwhelming amount of liability for the books on the over. But I do also believe that the professionals, the big money bets right now, are sitting on the sideline because there's no reason, Ben, for them to get involved in this total right now, because they know and we know it's only going to go one way. It's only going to go up. And if this is all about getting the best number, if you're thinking about betting the under, wait. There is no rush for you to run to the window because the public is not going to push this thing to 48, 47 and a half. It's only going to go up come kickoff. So the question is, and I think there's going to be a mad dash of professional money late on Sunday before kickoff trying to hammer that under. So get it while you can. If you're looking at the over right now, now would probably be a good time to bet it because I think come Sunday kickoff time, 5 o'clock, this thing, all the under money will start pouring in here. But I do think it gets close to 50 before it's all said and done.
I would agree. I think we get back to 49 and a half, maybe even 50-50 in a hook in some spots, depending on how much money in bets we see. I think if you wanted to bet the under at 49 and a half when it opened, good job on you. Great. You might get another chance, and now might be your time to bet the over. So that's where the market is going to go, Joe. But we have two of the best defenses in the NFL. Philadelphia is the best defense all year long around the National Football League, led by a very bright mind in Vic Fangio. Steve Spagnuolo is hoping for his fifth Super Bowl ring, his fourth in Kansas City as the Chiefs DC. And maybe that's kind of a lost part of this conversation. We look at Andy Reid, we look at Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the cast and crew that has been there on this dynastic run. You know, Spagnuolo's first year in KC? 2019, when they first reached a Super Bowl. So, Joe, when we look at this Chiefs team, when we look at this Eagles team, there's a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. There is no doubt about it. But you could argue that both of these teams are here playing in a Super Bowl led by their defenses. So if the market ends up at 49 and a half or 50, or if we even stay at 48 and a hook, what would you bet in terms of an over or an under for Super Bowl 59?
I think it's going to be somewhere in between, Ben, to be completely honest with you. Now, don't forget, if you remember the last time these teams played, Ben, remember they exploded for points early in the game. I think it was 38 first half points. As you can see on there, the first half line, 24 and a half. There's no way I think we get 20 over 24 and a half points in the first half. I think this is going to be a first one to 24-27 wins. I think that's where we're going. So I'm thinking 45 to 47 points is where this is ultimately going to be, somewhere in that ballpark there. All of it leads me to unders early and unders late, because as this game moves along, the question is, can the Eagles defense handle that, whatever you want to call it, X factor, mojo? Can they handle it in the third and fourth quarter? If they can, then they're going to milk that. They're going to outdo the Chiefs, who love to milk the clock in the second half and make sure you don't have a chance to get back. Philadelphia has been great at that all year long. Can they outdo what Kansas City loves to do to teams in the second half? I think they can.
Five of our last six Super Bowls have hit the under of what the pregame total was. The public probably squirms hearing such a thing. The only over in the last six seasons was Super Bowl 57 between the Eagles and the Chiefs. And we saw a ton of points, 38, 35, 73 combined points between the two teams over a total that closed around 51-51. And hook to Joe's point, we saw 38 points in the opening half. The Eagles had a 10-point lead, 24-14. The Chiefs rallied and won a single-score game, as they often do. Joe, I don't think we see 70-plus points this time. I'm not even sure we see 55-plus points this time around between KC and Philadelphia. But I don't think necessarily we also see 17-13 in a true defensive slugfest. I do think both teams will approach their team totals and get close to it, which means I don't think I have a great edge in betting the under. We'll find other areas, of course, to bet throughout Super Bowl week. Let me ask you one final question in terms of the total. Our next segment together, we'll compare those positions. We'll talk about the individuals and look at the updated numbers in the player prop categories. From the total perspective, Joe, can both teams win if the game trends to an over? Can both teams win if the game stays under? Or does that better suit in either of those two scenarios, one of these two sides?
Well, we certainly know that both of these teams are capable of winning slugfests as well as low-scoring affairs here. And I would not shock me. We know, unlike a couple of years ago, these are not the same offenses. They are built differently. For Philadelphia, it's all about Saquon Barkley and a running game. A couple of years ago, it was all about the explosive passing game. The interesting thing to me is Kansas City has no running game, Ben. Zero. Nothing they can rely upon, which means dink and dunk is coming here. I think, I don't know that it favors either way, an under or an over. I think it's who makes the fewest mistakes.
Let's talk about those edges in each and every category around those depth charts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl week live right here on the Early Line. Let's dive through the prop markets now, see where those numbers have shifted, if at all, and compare those position groups and the individuals that will dictate the outcome come Super Bowl Sunday, just 6 days away in New Orleans. Of course, Joe, we start at the quarterback position. I think it's pretty fair to say the Chiefs have that discernible edge in the quarterback spot based on pedigree and perhaps even present performance between Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. But in Super Bowl 57, despite Mahomes and the Chiefs coming out on top, it was Hurts that outdueled Mahomes and had a generational and historic performance. When you look at that QB comparison that we have for Super Bowl 59, where do you think those best bets might be, or where the advantages could be in terms of that matchup?
Well, yeah, we talked about it earlier, Ben. We've got a couple of interesting things at play that correlate, right? Number one, if the Chiefs defense sells out to stop Saquon, if that's their priority is to anybody but Saquon, well, then we're looking at a Jalen Hurts and passing game here that with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith have to show up and they have to show out. Now, we did see for the first couple of playoff games, right? 11 of 18 is what A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were. 11 catches, 18 attempts, just 100 yards combined. Different story, though, in that championship game, right? 10 of 12 for a buck 41. If you think Saquon is going to be the focus of Kansas City defense, well, then Jalen Hurts has got to go over his passing yards. Wouldn't shock me if he goes over his rushing yards. And the passing TDs also play to the over. But if you think it's going to be, dead, Saquon, let's see if you can beat our front seven. And they are going to lock down those wide receivers and force Saquon Barkley to try to beat him single-handedly. Well, then a lot of those numbers, Ben, I'm not comfortable thinking Jalen Hurts is going over 210 and a half yards. And conversely, Patrick Mahomes only runs in the Super Bowl, Ben. That's the bottom line. His rushing prop, 29 and a half. He's rushed for 44 in the last couple. Why? Yeah. Because he saves it all up for this game. He has no problem using his legs here, which makes that rushing prop also extremely profitable to me at 29 and a half yards.
And that's the number of these two QBs that has actually moved. It was 28 and a half at open early last week, now up by a yard, double-digit carries in 46 yards, and multiple rushing touchdowns for Mahomes in that AFC championship game against Buffalo. Last two times these two teams played, both quarterbacks utilizing their athleticism. Mahomes, 44 yards on the ground. Hurts was Philly's leading rusher, 15 carries for 70 yards. Doesn't have to be the leading rusher now. That is Saquon Barkley. And we know what the odds expectation is for the best running back in the National Football League. 21 and a half, his attempts prop. His rushing yards number slightly down from where it was last week. 112 and a hook, but still 110 and a half. Joe, what do you think that KC defensive mentality is going to be? And can they actually slow down Saquon or at least hope to contain him?
I think they just hold. I don't think they're going to sell out to stop him. I think what they want is to make sure he's not busting off the 65, 70, 75 yard untouched touchdown runs on basic handoffs and basic stretch plays. I think that's what the Chiefs' focus is going to be. And don't forget, the Chiefs have gone 18 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. So something has got to give in this game. I don't know that they're going to have to do anything more. That's how they're built. You don't rush for 100 yards against this team, mostly because you're trailing and you don't have much of a choice but to throw the ball. So I don't know that they're going to do anything extra outside of making sure he doesn't bust the big one for 70, 75, 80-yard touchdowns to the house.
Which is basically what he has done each and every game, each and every week for Philadelphia. Yep. 7 60-plus yard rushing touchdowns this year for Barkley. The most we have ever seen in a single season. What?
Keep in mind, Sunday is Barkley's birthday. Just saying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Cooper Jean for what it's worth.
Yes, Saquon exactly. Barkley, yep.
Better price than Jalen Hurts to win Super Bowl 59 MVP. Maybe to celebrate his B-Day not only with a Lombardi, but an MVP award as well. Mahomes still remains the favorite. Hour number three, our third and final up next.
Yep.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.